We're now going to just have a, I'm going to give a quick word, a few thoughts from the Word of God this morning. And the reading is going to be from John chapter 3, verses 1 to 16. If you'd like to see a Bible and you haven't got one with you, there are some on the table at the back there. Feel free to go and grab one of those if you'd like to follow it. But this is what the Word of God says. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray now as I just speak for these few moments that, Lord, you will take my words and you will speak to every heart here. Lord, I pray that we might be open to receive this morning what you have for us, and that, Lord, you will just really speak in these next few moments. We ask this, Lord, in your name. Amen. Yeah, I want us briefly this morning to just look at a character, this character in the Bible called Nicodemus. Who was Nicodemus and what do we know about him? We're introduced to him in that passage that I just read from in John's Gospel, chapter 3. And the first thing we know about him is that he was a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee. Pharisees were an influential religious sect within Judaism in the time of Jesus Christ. They believed the written word of God that we now call the Old Testament. But in addition to this, they also gave equal authority to oral traditions that have been passed down from generation to generation. And these traditions had the effect of adding to God's word. In the Gospels, the Pharisees are often presented as hypocritical or proud opponents of Jesus. And as a general rule, the Pharisees were self-righteous. They believed that they were pleasing God because they kept the law. But not only was Nicodemus a Pharisee, he was also a member of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was the supreme court at Jerusalem, and it was made up of 70 men plus the high priest. So Nicodemus, he was up there with the best of them because he was a part of this supreme court. He was a religious man of learning. He was intelligent. He had authority. But Nicodemus was also a man that had questions. His religion was not a reality to him. He knew there was something missing, something in his life that was missing, but he didn't know what. So he took steps to find out by seeking out Jesus at night under the shadow of darkness. Now, why did he wait until it was dark? I think it was probably because at night, no one would see him. At night, he would probably avoid all those awkward questions from the other religious leaders. He probably didn't want his Pharisees, his fellow Pharisees, to see him, because he was probably afraid. He may have been ashamed. And at night, he could secretly spend time with Jesus without anyone else knowing. Verse 2 tells us that Nicodemus recognized Jesus as a teacher from God. He also saw Jesus as a miracle worker. He probably witnessed himself some of the miracles that Jesus had performed. He called Jesus Rabbi, a Jewish title of respect. He recognized Jesus was something special. But Jesus ignores Nicodemus's compliments. Instead, he responds to these compliments by saying, "It's not enough, Nicodemus, that you recognize me as a great man. It's not enough to admire me. It's not enough that you recognize me as a teacher from God. It's not enough that you see and you believe the miracles that I've done. Nicodemus, you've got to be born again." Now, Nicodemus probably went to Jesus for this face-to-face chat, hoping for a religious or philosophical debate with Jesus. And instead, Jesus hits him with these words, "Nicodemus, you've got to be born again." I doubt very much if Nicodemus was expecting that. So what did Jesus mean by "you've got to be born again"? In those few words, Jesus is basically saying, "Nicodemus, you've got to begin life again. You may be religious, an upstanding, respected leader in society, but you're spiritually dead. It's no good trying to patch up the old building by being good. No, you must start with new foundations. You don't need a few improvements to your life. You need life itself. You need a spiritual life. You need to be born again." Jesus is trying to show Nicodemus that God has done for him what he cannot possibly do for himself. Yes, Nicodemus had his religion, but he was lacking a relationship. He was lacking a relationship. He needed to be born again into a relationship. Religion is one thing. Relationship is another thing altogether. But Nicodemus still didn't understand. He didn't get all this talk about being born again. "Hang on just a minute," he sarcastically replies to Jesus. "How can I be born again? I can't go back into my mother's womb. I'm old. How can I be born again when I'm old? That's absolutely ridiculous." See, when Jesus talks about being born again, he means you need to be born from above. We're all born from below by our earthly mothers. Percy and Nehemiah were born. They were born into this world. But Jesus is saying, you have to be born from above. You see, Nicodemus didn't understand the things of God. The things of God, like his surroundings that night, were still darkness to him. They were shadows. And I wonder if that describes you here this morning. Perhaps you hear what's being said. Perhaps you've understood a little of what's gone on here this morning, but you don't really understand it. It's all above your head. It all seems confusing, maybe even a little bewildering. You're not alone in that, because Nicodemus certainly found it confusing. And at that point, he could have turned around and he could have left Jesus. thanks very much, Jesus, but I can't take all this being born again stuff. It's just not for me. He could have walked away at that point, but he didn't. He stayed. He hung on in there, waiting for Jesus to explain things to him a little bit more. And you may not understand all this stuff about being born again here this morning, but if you hang on in there and allow God by his Spirit to reveal these things to you, you too will be able to understand. Jesus continues, look, Nicodemus, this new birth, this change, it's from the Spirit. It's from above. You see, change doesn't come about by anything that we do ourselves. It's not through any wisdom or power that we may have. It doesn't come about by doing good deeds, by being a good person, following a set of rules. It doesn't even come about by going to church. This change only takes place by the power and the influence of God. It's achieved by spiritual power. Being born again means being born spiritually. It happens from God, from above, by the Holy Spirit. When we're born as babies, we are born in the flesh. The Bible tells us that we are born into sin. Sin is woven into our nature, making us spiritually dead. So it's not enough to put on a new coat, as it were, or a new face, a touch of makeup to hide the blemishes, because that would just try to hide the sin and the brokenness that's inside each one of us. No, we need to be born again spiritually. We need a change of heart, spiritual transformation that only can come from above through faith in Christ Jesus. The Bible likens this to a rebirth, something that no matter how hard we may try, we cannot do it ourselves. Only those who are born again have their sins forgiven and can enjoy a relationship with God. We need spiritual rebirth. In verse 9, Nicodemus then turns to Jesus and he says, how can these things be? How can this be possible? And Jesus replies to him, Nicodemus, you're a respected Jewish teacher of Israel, and yet you don't understand these things. You know the law of Moses inside and out, yet you don't actually understand what you've learnt. Although Nicodemus was a teacher of the law, a truly religious man, his heart was dead to the things of God. His mind was intellectually alive, yes, but his heart was dead. He'd lost his way. He believed in the things he could see. He believed in the things he could understand, earthly things. But his heart and mind were spiritually dead. He wasn't open to the things of God. He wasn't open to spiritual things. And in verse 13, Jesus says to Nicodemus, no one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but I have come from heaven. I've come to bridge the gap between God and man. Jesus elsewhere says in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But why would God send his Son from heaven to bridge that gap between himself and man? Why would he do that? Verse 16 gives us the answer. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son out of love. Out of love. Simply put, because God loves mankind so much, he so wants a relationship with us, he did something amazing to allow that to happen. He sent his only Son, the Messiah, to this earth to die a sacrificial death for our sin. You see, the Bible tells us that because of sin, you and I are separated from the Holy God. As an Old Testament prophet called Isaiah said, it's your sins that have cut you off from God. Our sin separates us from God. It's Our sin is like a great big chasm that separates us from God. So God sent his son, his only son Jesus, to die on a cross to pay the penalty for our sin, bridging that great chasm, enabling us to have a personal relationship with God. Jesus came to earth to die on a cross and 3 days later rise from the dead, sacrificing himself to pay the penalty for our sin, bringing us forgiveness and healing our sin-damaged souls, indwelling us by his Holy Spirit, restoring the broken relationship with God. That's what it means to be born again. Nicodemus that night was faced with a choice: accept what Jesus just explained about being born again, trust him with his heart and life, or walk away back into the darkness of that night. We don't read in this passage of Nicodemus making a decision there and then. He may have done, or he may have gone away to think things through a little bit more. But a change did take place in his life. He did discover for himself this new birth. He was born again. He did take that step of faith. But how do we know this? Because we read of Nicodemus again in John's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 50 this time, where we see Nicodemus standing up for Jesus. See, the Pharisees had called an urgent meeting to discuss Jesus. They saw Jesus as dangerous. He was threatening their authority. He was becoming more and more popular day by day. They had to do something, or they were going to lose control. And all the Pharisees at that meeting agreed that they needed to arrest Jesus in order to stop him. That was the only way. Get him out of the way. They all agreed to take part in this, except for one lone voice. And that voice was Nicodemus. Nicodemus stood up and defended Jesus. You see, Nicodemus was on this journey of faith. Taking a stand like this amongst his fellow Pharisees was a really brave thing to do for him. He could have been cast out, excommunicated, expelled, but he was willing to take that stand and speak up for Jesus. But that's not the end of the story. Nicodemus is mentioned a third time in John 19, verse 39. At this point in John's Gospel, Jesus has been arrested by the religious leaders. He's been sentenced to death. He's been crucified on a Roman cross. And it's then that we read that Nicodemus goes with Joseph of Arimathea, another disciple of Jesus, to ask Pilate for the body of Jesus, to take Jesus down from the cross and take him to the tomb. Nicodemus, who came by night in secret, afraid, fearful, timid, comes out of the shadows and openly, publicly declares his allegiance to Jesus Christ. That was an amazingly courageous thing to do. But what about you? Are you willing to stand up for Jesus this morning? As we've heard already, Nicodemus was a religious, upright person, but he was a person still needing to know the reality of Jesus Christ in his life. He eventually found that reality, and he was born again. He had a face-to-face encounter with Jesus, which led him to new birth. And Jesus is showing you this morning, just as he did to Nicodemus, that you can't save yourself. It's impossible. You cannot deal with the sin in your life. You cannot do that on your own. Only God can do that for you, with you. But you have to allow him. You have to ask him. Nicodemus had his religion, but he needed to be born again into a relationship. You may have religion that you're clinging to, or you may be clinging to a host of other things to bring you fulfillment and satisfaction in your life. Things like material possessions, your job, wealth, fame, relationships, social media, popularity. These things will not last. They will fade. They will disappear. The friends will desert you. Your wealth may disappear. You may even have been going to church for a long time, hearing the gospel message of Jesus' love for you. Or this may be your first time of hearing these things. Like it or not, you have come face to face with Jesus this morning by being here in this service. What will you do? What will your response be? Will you go along in your religion or in your own power, your own strength? Or will you turn to Jesus and give your life to him? Will you today be born again, born from above? Will you let the living God fill you with his spirit? Jesus is here this morning and he's reaching out to you, offering you forgiveness, offering you salvation, new birth, a fresh start, the slate wiped clean. Please don't leave here this morning without him. Accept his call. Come out of the shadows. Ask him to be Lord of your life. That was the message that Jesus gave to Nicodemus, and it's the same message Jesus brings to you today. That was the message that I heard over 50 years ago. And you can hear, you can take that same step today. I pray this very day you'll discover new life in Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've been speaking this morning through your word, the scriptures. Lord, thank you that you offer us new life in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for a number here this morning that know that to be true, that are walking with you day by day. Lord, I pray that you will just minister to those, speak to those, Lord, who maybe have got questions in their minds about things, that you will answer those questions, that they too might see the way forward through you. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you will speak to hearts this morning in your name. Amen.